Welcome into this special ESPN FC podcast. Over the last few weeks, Alexis Nunez has been speaking to quite a few current footballers. Today, she sat down with former Manchester United defender, now at Lyon, Raphael.
Perfect. So, Raphael, I mean, how have you been? Because it's crazy times, obviously, with no football, no anything. So how have you been adjusting?
Well, I think it's strange to everyone. Even the ones who like to go out, to drink with their friends, everything. But it's a moment you have to think about the others. And exactly what I'm doing. I stay with my family. It's nice to have more conversation with my kids. Because sometimes you never see them, I never see them at home. So I'm trying to do this.
And then now, what's been the most difficult part, you know, adjusting to self-isolation and all of this?
I think not, you know, when I train for a long time now, all the time in morning, I get to 9:30. Now you don't have a time. I think this is the hardest thing for me, you know. I wake up 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock sometimes. Exactly. I go to sleep 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. So. It's kind of strange, you know, for me. So I think I have to adapt this and try to be consistent. But it's so hard, even because the clock in Brazil is 5 hours behind, you know. So
everyone's very talking hard. To you.
Exactly. I talk to everyone, you know. I know I don't need to wake up early in the morning. So why not?
I know. That's the same with me. It goes to bed like 4 a.m. sometimes.
Yeah.
For you, of course, it's different because you're a pro athlete and you have to still stay fit. And, you know, it's hard, especially when you're not playing matches, because there's only so much you can do. But have you established like a fitness routine? Has the club kind of helped?
Yeah. I try and I'm doing. I lost 2 kilos, you know, since more than 2 kilos because. Because you cannot just eat because you're at home. You want to eat every 30 minutes. Yeah, I want to eat. So I put a challenge on my head, you know, so to not eat. Instead of eat, I do some exercise. So when I want to eat, I'm going to do something. Maybe sometimes I get something to eat, but I do some, you know, core work and I go outside to run as well too. So I put this in my head and I'm doing well for the moment. I hope I keep like this.
I know, that's actually very disciplined and good. And I suppose one of the great things is that, you know, you have a brother and a twin, Fabio, who's going through the same exact thing in the same exact league and country. So do you guys kind of, you know, work together, have maybe video workouts too?
No, we don't do this. My brother he had a big injury. So I think he's kind of have a different work as well. Well, not everything different, but as he was like 5 months out. So he's a little bit different for him, but we talk. I was talking to him before I come here to ask him some things. He showed me some exercise he did from his sprint once. And I don't do a lot of sprints here. I love to do, and he just explained me some things he do, and I really like.
And what's the situation like in France now? Because of course we see, for example, in Germany or like at Bayern, where they have tried to train in like small groups. But of course, France, we know the lockdown was a much bigger. So
yeah,
what's it like in France now?
Now I can say in 2 weeks I think we're going to start to train. We already talked about that, and of course we're going like different groups. I don't think we go everybody together, and the doctor here as well, he just have an idea, no idea, but I think it was very good from him. Everybody going to do a medical exam to see who is already contaminated, who is not, to put the groups in right position. And I think this is very good, you know, because you have to know who is already have the virus, who don't. So if you do this, you'll be good for the people who is already have the virus. He can train with it too. So it's good. In 2 weeks, I think we start.
In 2 weeks, oh, that's good. As far as some people will definitely be happy for that, because I know a lot of people have been desperate to get some football again. But then you see sometimes like the news in the Netherlands where they're not doing anything until at least September. And at least everywhere else, they're trying to come up with ideas of how to get the game back, or when it does come back, when it's safe to do. So one of the ideas is playing behind closed doors with no fans. What do you think of that idea?
I don't like that idea, because football is for, I know the fans may be going to see in television and everything, but you imagine we play home and away games. When you when you do that with no fans, it's no reason to play your away or home. I know the pitch is a little bit different, but it's not many teams who play who train in the pitch they play. You know, they play the game. So for me, it's not a good idea, but you have to see everything possible to come back to football. But I don't like the idea with no supporters. We play for the supporters as well, so it's strange. It's kind of strange.
It is kind of strange to see that as well. But I suppose, like you said, everyone kind of just wants to do what they can to get some football back. Is that kind of how you feel, that you want to finish the season? You don't want them to like just void it and start new?
I give some interviews about that. I don't think we should finish the season, because we need to think about next season. You know, we cannot hush the things. You need to play this season, and in trying to do that, we make just late the other season. You know, so this will be complicated. And I think even if you try to do that, and someone gets the virus or something in that team, how they gonna play? You know, because it's at least 15 days to come back. So I think we need to get this virus away. Of course, it's not easy. It won't be easy, but to think this is, I think, is a little bit complicated. You know? So I say it's my point of view.
And then what about then, with that said, interestingly, what about the Champions League then? Because now they're saying that maybe it could be the 29th of August, the final, but you guys are going have a pretty big match there too, and it's not going badly there. So what would you
say? Exactly. That's strange as well, because like you said, in Netherlands, they say September, in some other countries, they are training in Germany. In Champions League, they it's all the countries involved, you know. So you'll be very, very strange. Some countries is not playing or something, and the Champions League think the UEFA say, we're gonna play 29 or something, and this country they don't have football. Imagine, so it'll be hard. But for us, I want to play. We win the first game against.
Exactly.
We have the second one. For me, I want to play for my team. But of course, like I said, it's not easy. It's not easy for do that.
And then just talking about that Champions League game, of course, I guess Juventus, that's a huge match, you know. And again, not many people would have picked you guys to even win that first game. So what was it like? What was the team morale like after that?
It was great. I was injured in the first game. It's in the dressing room was like amazing, you know, because I think anybody expect us to win that game. We win, we play well, to be honest. And when you win a team like a Juventus, it's nice, you know, it gives you a confidence to see, well, we can do, we can go to cut finals, we can, if you keep this spirit, you keep the mentality like this game, we can do, you know. So I think was exactly the mentality in the dressing room.
So if and when football does come back and we do get that Champions League game, you get to play, you think you can do it? You think you can knock Juventus out?
Of course, it'll be hard, but you win the first game. Our game is not the same, but if you can, you know, play like we play home, of course we can go to the cut finals. It'll be very good.
It would be very good indeed. And then, I mean, speaking of now, I think this August will make it 5 years since you've been in France, since you left here in England. So what's life been like in France?
It's been good. I can say my first 6 months here was very complicated. It was hard, you know, maybe because I've been in England so long. So I didn't get used to some things. But after that, I just enjoy to play. I just enjoy the city. I live in a very, very good city. Lyon is a very good city. My family is happy. I'm happy. So it's good, you know, very, very good.
What was the biggest difference from, of course, playing in the Premier League to then playing in the Ligue 1?
Exactly. For me was a big difference. Premier League was like, you feel more football, but I think in England, the people, they live
football. You know?
Exactly, you live it.
Like in Brazil.
Exactly. Like in Brazil. That's why I just love to play in England. But I'm not saying they live football in France, but they live the different way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different think about football, maybe. Maybe I can say it like that.
Like you feel it's probably not top priority.
Exactly. You said everything. You answered for me this one. Very good. But it's like that, you know. It's not maybe the top priority. In England, no. It's football is there. You go football and you loved it. You love it.
That's very true. And then, of course, one of the, I suppose, criticisms people say about the Ligue 1 is that, you know, you look at the Premier League and it's so competitive where now you never know who's going to win, you know. It could be 4, 5, 6 clubs, whereas in the Ligue 1, they feel like it's always PSG.
Yeah.
Year in year, it's not as competitive. How do you find it? Do you think it's actually better than what people are seeing?
I think actually it's better than what the people see. But it's right. You're right. It's hard because it's always PSG. And of course, about money as well. A lot of Ligue 1 teams, they don't have a lot of money. You can see a lot of people from here, a lot of players from here, they go to Premier League. They one of the best players always going to Premier League. So this is kind of difficult as well because when the small team, they don't have money, the Premier League team just buy them. So maybe that's why the Premier League is so competitive and Ligue 1 not. But I think it's getting better since I arrived here, to be honest.
So do you think eventually it will change where we could see probably more of a competition for PSG?
I think it's already, you know, see some team, Monaco win since I arrived. Monaco win the league once. Lille did very well last season. We are doing well as well. So I think the teams, they start to getting better and better. I hope with this virus don't get worse again, but I really think it's getting better.
All right. Well, I mean, we definitely now have to move on a little bit and talk about Manchester United because I know that's where you have a big smile. I saw you on a podcast recently for Man United and you know, you said that you miss it every day, you know, that you still feel very much a part of Man United. So just take me back to that first time when you were 17 and you knew that you and Fabio were going to be a part of this Manchester United team with Sir Alex Ferguson. What was that feeling like?
I cannot even explain how was that feeling because this feeling is different feeling from everything. You know, you play for Manchester United, the best club in the world, for me, the best club in the world. Sure, I'm one of the best in the world, but it's just love, you know, just love, just passion. Like I said to you, I played there because they choose me. But since I arrived there, I choose them, you know. I was playing with passion, with everything, you know. So because I love football in England, they love football as well. I think I was in the best team for me because in Manchester, I see the football over there since I play was just football. The players who play, they play with passion for the football. This is great.
And that's something, of course, I'm sure you can relate to because football is the religion in Brazil, basically, you know.
And, exactly.
And that was good. So do you think that helped you make the transition where you weren't? Because, of course, they talk about how players coming from international leagues sometimes find it hard to adjust to the Premier League and because it's so fast-paced and everything. Did you not feel that?
Well, I feel that, but because Manchester United, they helped us so much because we've been coming from, since we had 15 years old to train to see that, to see how is the football was in England and everything. So I'm not saying we get used to the football, because play games is not the same with training. But we know we learn a lot from this times we've been there to go to train. And I think as the football in England, it's quick. Me and my brother was like quick as us. So that was good for us.
And I have to ask you the story, because we've been doing this with other footballers as well, asking them to tell us the story of their first goal. And I know it wasn't common based on your position for you to score many goals, but I'm sure you remember your first goal. I remember it, because it was your first goal, wasn't it?
You are Arsenal supporter. You remember well?
No.
I know. You're not?
I support United. That's why I remember.
That's good.
I know it was, I think United lost that match though. Yeah, but you scored, which was...
No. It's funny because I scored my first goal when United lost. I come in 10 minutes. 10 minutes, 90 minutes, I don't remember. But was special. It was special because it was a very good goal. I was so young, you know. I watch this goal sometimes. Even when before I play, I like to watch some goals I did. It was not many, but I try to watch everything. But I scored some good goals though. But this goal was special because as a young player coming to Manchester United, you score like that in the against Arsenal. Everybody will remember, you know, look, 18 years old, he scored. This guy maybe can play for Manchester United for long. So was a good goal to put some thoughts on everybody.
And then if you had a favorite goal, which one would it have been? I know you had your one at Anfield, don't you?
Of course. That goal against Liverpool was the best goal I scored for Manchester United, for me for sure. Maybe not the beautiful one, but for me it was the special one.
Of course, I suppose any goal against Liverpool, you know, would be, especially these days, because not many goals come against Liverpool, I suppose, these days with that defence. But still talking about Man United now, we just have to talk about Sir Alex Ferguson, because now just looking at it, and I mean, with all due respect to all managers too, but it just goes to show how special of a manager he was. What was it like for you working with him? And, you know, what was your favorite part about working with him?
His honesty, you know, of course, everybody knows how winning mentality he is, you know, but he's a person who help everyone, but not help like doing the kind of stuff all the time, to tell them what way to do, you know, the things. And he did that with me and with my brother many times, you know. Maybe he didn't speak with us a lot, because me and my brother were quiet guys. We don't do a lot silly stuff either. But when we did, he tell us how to do it. And I remember one time I started to like Ross races, you know. But the Ross race was in Liverpool. This one we went. You know, I don't forget this one. This one, I think I never tell in the interviews. And seriously, and he, the other day, he find out we went there, because he was he just loved the Ross races. He called me and my brother to his office, and he said, "Look, I know you went to Ross race, but you know where you went." And we say, "It was in Liverpool." So just be careful where you go and this stuff, you know, that kind of stuff to you to just to know, because we don't do a lot of silly stuff. You just call us just to say, "I'm here. Be careful what you do, where you go, and this stuff." And then I always remember this. He was a special guy.
Is that your favorite piece of, I guess, advice that he's given you? Because I'm sure you've got years and years of them.
He gives so many advice, you know, to how I live my life inside football and outside the football too, you know, because when you are a football player, you have to be careful what you do outside. So, but you have to live as well, to be happy inside the football. You cannot live just, "I can do anything," and I'm not going to part with my friends because I'm play football. If you do this, maybe on the pitch, you won't be happy. So it does have that kind of stuff as well. But you have to know when you can go, and how you do that. So it was very, very good advice he gave to us all the time.
You came to Man United so young, so it's almost like you grew up with Sir Alex Ferguson, which is
it's
crazy.
True.
He's almost like a second father to you.
No, but it's true. I'm sure he gave me many, many advice, you know. Because my dad always gave me advice for life, but he gave me advice for life too, but to live the life in football, you know, to be a good professional and good player. So it's kind of different. So in football, he definitely was my dad.
He's your football daddy.
Yeah, exactly. My football daddy.
And then, of course, you know, we know what happened after. When he left, what was that transition like for you? Did it come as a shock?
Yeah, I think when he left, it was a little bit shock to everyone because he just told everyone after win the league, you know, the day after, if I'm not wrong. So it was like it's finished. So everyone was a little bit shocked with the news. This news, of course, for him was very good because he left us after we passed Liverpool in titles for that as well. It was very good. But me personal, I would love to him to stay and keep 3-4 years more. But it wasn't like that, but definitely was a shock for not just for me, but for some of the players.
I'm sure a lot of people would have definitely loved for him to stay forever, but the great man exactly went to call time. But some of the other stuff that you got to do, you know, you won 3 Premier League titles with him. You got to go to the Champions League final twice. Yeah. I know the result was painful, losing twice to Barcelona. I know it's painful to remember, but what was that like, you know, was it probably the best team that you ever faced, that Barcelona team, just the way they held the ball?
Yeah, definitely. Was even 2011, for me, that team was the best one, the best Barcelona team. They have everything, you know, they have great midfield, great right back, left back, keeper, Messi, they had Messi. So for me, it's the best team I play against, for sure.
On that night, what was it like going up against them when you saw the team? Just was it just hard to come up with an answer? Did you just realize that, you know what, tonight might not be it?
I think we work like always, or maybe a little bit more, because we always work very hard under Sir Alex Ferguson. But you knew it would be very hard, you know. Maybe we put too much pressure on ourselves in that game. Maybe we should relax a little bit more because I feel all the players was like tense, you know, because they are so good. You think, we need to do that. You need to do, and sometimes you do not your best because you think a lot. But it was hard. It was a hard game and was sad for me too.
It's okay. You win some, you lose some. I suppose that's football for you. But, I mean, that is definitely just some of the great times that you had at Manchester United. When you look at it compared to now, I know it's hard to compare, but why do you think it's been so hard for United to stay at that top level like when Sir Alex was there? Was it just because Sir Alex left?
Well, true. Was true just because Sir Alex left. But it's not just that. I think many things happen. He stayed so long. He stayed 27, if I'm not wrong, 27 years. So with the same structure, you know, same things, the same people, and the manager come, what he gonna do? He leave everybody out. He can do that. How many people he bring with him? So how we going to work? You know, what he going to change? Who is been to 27 years of victory. So I think it's hard as well. The guys come when it's like that. I think we take too long to get back in track, you know. I think 1-2 years is enough to do that. We have been now, 5 years with not great team. We did some things wrong as well. I think we start to buy so shared, so expensive players, you know, like we give a lot of money away. I'm not agree with that sometimes. Not because the player is 200 million or 150 million, you'll be very good for the team. That depends the league is going. That depends which character is the player. So I think we make some mistakes, but I hope now we get back on track. I see this Manchester United. I see more the Manchester United I played before. So I think we'll be back where we belong.
I know. I think that's probably been one of the top debates, you know, whether United go for already made players like they did before with, say, like Alexis Sanchez or Zlatan, etc., or do they invest in young players now because they're linked with so many people in the transfer window.
But that's the problem where I think we make mistakes. We start to just buy players, you know. I think you have to be a mix of the things, you know. You can buy some expensive players. You have to, but not all expensive players. You don't need to buy 5-6 expensive players for one team. Sometimes I remember I wasn't playing Manchester United, but Manchester United get the real fan for 30 million. Was one player, you know what I mean? Like they had the other players, like not small players, big players, but they don't need to give 30 million or 35, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly, hundreds. So you have to be clever on that as well. You have to work on that because sometimes the supporters, I know I'm a supporter, so they want to take the best players. Why? We should buy this player for 200 because he's good. But, well, let's see if he's good for Manchester United. Let's see if you think he may be going to work. So that's you'll be clever to do from now on.
Well, with that said, I mean, I have to ask you because whenever we do get a transfer window, I mean, Manchester United are constantly linked with so many different players. Like now with Harry Kane, you know, who I guess you could say is an expensive already made players, but then they're also linked with the young likes of Erling Haaland, Jadon Sancho, I suppose Jack Grealish at Aston Villa. Do you have a preference of which way you think they should go there for that position?
Well, I think the first, they should go for the player want to play for Manchester United, not for just because Manchester United going to pay 150 million for them, or they look nice. Manchester United pay for me 150, I'm a 150 million player. This is not football, you know. You have to play for Manchester United. Chicharito. I take Chicharito. How hard Chicharito play for Manchester United? What you want to play, you know? How much United pay for him? It's not much, you know what I mean? So you have to be clever. You have to see the player want to play for Manchester United really, you know, not just for Manchester United pay me 150 million. So you have to be very, very clever on that.
And of course,
I'm not saying they play. I'm not going to say which one I have preference. For me, you have exactly what I said. Harry Kane, I just love Harry Kane. You know, he's a goal scorer. You know, Sancho is very, very good. Very, very good. So, but first most, you need to see the character of the players and see if they really want to do good for United. If they're not just coming for the money or for the, I don't have the word, but to be nice, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And then with that said, I mean, what do you think of? We know it's not an easy job, so what do you think of how Ole's done so far at Man United? Because I believe he was reserves team coach. I think when you were there, and then I know he was helped kind of your brother go to Cardiff a little bit as well. So you know, how are you doing?
I just love Ole, you know. I love the person he is. I love the manager he is. I know some in Manchester United will not agree with me, but it's my point of view. So I think he's already helping a lot in Manchester United. If the people see the players are in Manchester United now and see how they play and everything, it's nice, you know. It's nice to see. I like to see Manchester United now. I see the heart on the pitch, you know. I see they want to win every time. So this is good. Of course, It's a lot of things to do still, but I think he's doing the right way. He's one person and coach who love Manchester United. He's going to do everything to help the club. And this is important as well, you know. I think Ole is a guy who's going to think about Manchester United first than himself. So this is important as well, you know. A lot of coaches, they're never going to do that. They're going to think about them and after about the club. So Ole is different because of that as well.
So you think that heart and that passion now that you're seeing Man United playing with, you think that's what Ole has definitely brought?
100%. The players, he see that on him, you know. He see the way he is. I saw when I was with him, you know, when he coached me. So when you pass this for the players, 27 years, Selak tells he passed this to the players, you know. The way he feel in the club, the way he treats players, the way he treats the club. So it's important as well. The players, we do the same.
So then would you like to see people? I know, obviously, it's hard for players, but it's also hard for managers too to have a long life in football, because now they say after 2-3 years
it's true.
You go. But so how long do you want to see them, I guess, give Ole the chance to prove himself and regain that passion?
Well, they are given the chance, you know, because he have some bad results, he have some bad times, and he's keeping going. I think Ole in this time now, he's going like this, you know, he's going up, he's going down. I hope they give him more time to him to see if he can just go up and stay, you know, over there. Because it's true, in his time in Manchester United, he have so many up and downs. He just go up, he go down, go up, he go down. Before this virus, he was up, you know, he was really going up. So I just really, really hope he just keep it up and go all the way.
Time in football, that's such a rare thing indeed. But I mean, going back in time a little bit now, I have to talk about Man United's defense against another defense that we kind of hinted on earlier, and that's the Liverpool defense that we are seeing right now. A lot of people have been talking just about this Liverpool team on a whole, and even comparing them to Arsenal's Invincibles and whatnot, because it is, I know you laugh, but it's a really good team now and a really good defense. That's where you're an expert at. So I'm going to give you the two sides, the two defenses, and I want you position, person for person, to tell me who your pick would be and why. And we're going to start off with the goalkeepers, because I want to hear what you say in this one. We have Edwin van der Sar, the Great Wall of Holland, as they used to call him, against Alisson, who is your fellow Brazilian, and really he's helped change how people look at goalkeepers and playing from the back. We see with Ederson as well. So who's your pick in that one for the better goalkeeper?
It's not easy, because Alisson is very, very goalkeeper, but I pick Van der Sar for sure. Van der Sar, he plays so many years great for Manchester United. And not even that, he played some small teams and he play good as well, you know. So for me, Van der Sar is one of the best keepers for all time. I see play.
What made him so good to play alongside as well, and just to even just watch?
Yeah, well, I think he was so good with the feet. Van der Sar, maybe the support they know. He gives so many assists in his career in Manchester United. He gives so many. So imagine one goalkeeper give you just assist for players to score. It's not easy, huh? So he plays so good with the feet and in goal with the hands. He was one of the best. He didn't make like saves like I like save. It was like in good position all the time, you know, to make the save. So this is good as well.
And then now we go to the back line. This is where things get interesting. I suppose at right back position now, Gary Neville and Trent Alexander-Arnold. And I know it's hard because Trent is so young and starting his career, but he's still
I go to speak already. Gary Neville. Today I pick Gary Neville, but if Arnold keep doing what he's doing, you pass Gary Neville by far. Because at the moment, he's just destroying the Premier League with assists, with everything, you know. I have to be honest. So if he keep like that, you're going to pass Gary Neville as a footballer. But when Gary Neville was young, he just maybe don't have the same quality. He didn't the same things Arnaud is doing, but he keep what he did for what, 12, 13 years in Manchester and in England. So I hope Arnaud keep playing well. Not against Manchester United for sure, but if he keep doing that, for sure you pass Gary Neville.
He's definitely something special. Moving on now, yeah. Rio Ferdinand and Joe Gomez.
Rio Ferdinand is the best defender I play with by far. I'm telling you, by far is the best defender I play.
What was so good about him for you?
He's a good leader. For me, a center back have to be a leader because he is. So many times I see when I arrive here at Manchester United, I see Rio. Ronaldo was one of the best already, you know. I see Rio just saying, "Oh, come back," you know, like he shout with him and speak with everybody. So leader is that, you know, because you have to speak with your best player because he have to defend as well. Because if he is not defend, it will be hard for us. So. And on the pitch was one of the best with the ball, positional. So Rio Ferdinand for me is the best center back I play with.
Here's another comparison now, and this is where things get sticky. Nemanja Vidic, who we know is just solid left, right, and center, and Virgil van Dijk, who same really. How do you choose there?
The problem in this question, because you put Van Dijk with Vidic, you should make different. Because it will be easier for me. Now it's very, very hard.
We didn't want to make it easier for you.
Yeah, that's why I saw that. I saw you want to make it hard, the question. To be honest, it's very hard. No? It's very hard because I don't see the passion Vidic Nemanja had to play in Vanja. I had to say his name for me in English. Van Dijk.
Yeah.
it's hard, you know. It's hard because he don't have the same passion, but he have too much quality, you know. So much quality. He's so good, you know. One against one. I don't want to answer this question.
That would be hard, so we can leave them both. Cause, like,
to be honest with me and with everyone, I'm going to put them even.
Even, yeah. I think that's a fair answer because this one was really, really hard.
Really, and really hard.
Finally, left back now, Patrice Evra and Andy Robertson.
Yeah, this one is hard. But like I said... the same thing I said from Gary Neville, I said to the left back position. Gary Neville. Patrice Evra plays so long, so well, so, yeah. You know, like how long? 10 years he played for Manchester United. He did 10 years. I think his beginning wasn't that impressive, but after that, he just played so well. So, Robinson, if he keep doing what he's doing, 8-9 years, I think he can be better than Patrice, but at the moment I don't see that.
And it's almost too soon.
To be honest, is it too soon? Because they are playing 2 years now or three, or we can say good, but you have to see. They lost 3 games on a row before this. Huh? Don't forget that.
You won't let them forget that.
Yeah, exactly. Don't forget that. I was starting football stop as well because that. Because they start to lose, they stop football. Liverpool start to lose, stop football.
Stop, football. I'm sure they
that's not fair, that's not fair.
That'd be interesting. I know, I saw some comments that you said that you wouldn't mind if they voided at least the league here just to...
Yeah, but I say as a Manchester United supporter, of course it would be not fair for them. I'm not saying... I want to this happen, but because I'm a United supporter, I won't be happy if they win the league. But of course, you won't be honest with them if there are so many points ahead. If I'm player and this happen, I'll be just devastated. I'll be very. It's like that. It's like that.
That's it. Okay, Rafa. So tell me your greatest game for club, for country. It could be a youth game, but one that you played in that you look back and say, yes, that was my greatest game.
This one was good. Well, I had some good games.
I know, yeah. Maybe you can give me your favorite one for Brazil and your favorite one for Man United.
Okay, my favorite one for Brazil was Olympic game. My first game, Olympic games. We win 3-2. I scored in that game. Was definitely my first one for Brazil. And for Manchester United, maybe I pick QPR. One I score as well. I think I didn't give the assist, but I played so well that game, you know, and was so important game. So maybe I pick this two. I finished the game and I say, yeah, this one was my. I was the best player on the pitch.
That's a good one to remember. And then finally, I mean, we have to talk about Brazil because Brazil and football. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
I mean, if everything goes well in the world, you know, we're supposed to be about two years away from the World Cup. So I'm sure you're like tracking it. What's the situation like? How are you feeling? I know it's early, but you know, just can Brazil do this one?
Well, I hope because now it's a long time we know,
yeah.
So they start you know borders. So I think we have a chance. Brazil all the time. Brazil play World Cup. We have a chance. That's for sure. But I think if we need Neymar. That's mm-hmm. That's for sure. We need a lot of him. I need he need to improve a lot of things. Like I said, outside the pitch is important for the footballers. So he need to improve a lot outside the pitch to come inside the pitch and do his best. So I hope he can do that. And if he does, we have a big chance to win.
And I mean, when you look at last World Cup, of course, as well, and before, you know, he got injuries and stuff like that. You could see how, like you said, on his best day, it's almost impossible for anyone to stop him. Do you think now that we're moving on and it will be 4 years then, do you think he would have matured enough to be that leader that Brazil needs?
I think Neymar is not a leader. I don't think he's a leader. This is not him. But I think he can do the things he does, because like you said, if he's good, if he's like focusing, concentrating his football, he is the best player in the world. But I think football is not his first option of life today. You know what I mean? Like he has so many stuff around him. He does so many things. So he thinks in his mind, I don't need to do that to play well. I don't need to, you know what I mean? So you need to, a lot of things you need to do. And like you said, like I said, if he does that, if he, someone can put this in his mind, because he's I know him, I play with him, I play Olympic games with him, I've been in national team with him. I know he's a hard guy to listen the others, you know, when you speak, not good with him. I'm saying the truth, but he, sometimes you don't want to say. Some people don't want to say the truth. Don't want to listen to the truth. They want to say you are good. You are magic. They want you to say all the good stuff, but the life is not like that. And I think you need to listen more. And if he does that, it'll be hard to stop Brazil.
I'm sure many people will be happy because it's been a while since Brazil's won that World Cup, and you know, I know people.
Too long
indeed. But oh, Rafa, that was perfect. I wish we could go on for like 5 more hours, but
no, 5 hours.
Alexis Nunes there talking to Rafael. More of these interviews to come over the next few weeks, but for now, goodbye.